We began a discussion of Meleches Harisha. We spoke about the Rambam, who opens up Perek Chaf Mehilchos Shabbos with the Iser of Mechamer. And he writes, Osa Lahotzi Maso Al Behemah B'Shabbos. The Rambam wonders about giving Malkus for this violation, because the Rambam says that it comes under the law of Lo Sasa Kol Melacha Ubem Techa. And the Rambam says it's a law Hanitin Lasoros Mises Bezdin, because to do a Melacha with an animal could be a violation of a Chiyuv Misa in the case of Harisha. The Magid Mishnah at this point tries to explain the difference between Machamer, which is only an Issa Lav, and Harisha, which is an Issa Skila. And basically, the Magid Mishnah's thesis is that the difference is that whereas in the case of Meleches Harisha, he together with the animal are doing the Harisha as a joint effort, in the case of Mechamer, he's only, the human being is only secondary, he's only the manhig, but the malacha is being done by the behemah itself. And the Leital that we saw last time expands upon this. He quotes the Magid Mishnah, and then he quotes a sugya in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, called Ze Eino Yochel V'Ze Eino Yochel Shnayim Shasu. And the Gleital claims that basically Meleches Harisha is an example of Shnayim Shasura, because the way that he saw in the Magid Mishnah, this is a partnership of the animal together with the human being. I'll tell you when you talk about in Yanei Bitachon, I get nervous. Israeli politics have been very rough in the last 24 hours. Yeah. Okay.
That's so sorry.
Okay, so what do we have? We have the following. The Leital sees the paradigm of Meleches Harisha back in the Sugyan Sadi Beis of Shnayim Shasua. And what's the analogy here between Harisha and Shnayim Shasua? The animal together with the human being in a certain interdependence are achieving the Harisha. She, the animal, cannot do it on her own. He, the Choresh, cannot do it on his own. But together as a joint effort called Zeh Eino Yochel, they're able to achieve the Harisha. And basically it means the following, that the human being, the Choresh, he's guiding the animal to do the Harisha. The animal now is being guided by the human being, and as a result of the fact that the Machresha is attached to the animal, and the Adam, the human being, is being manhig the animal, that's how they, together, as a partnership, they are able to achieve Meleches Harisha. And the Leital goes on to say that even according to Reb Shimon, who holds that Ze Eino Yochel V'Ze Eino Yochel Shneim Pturim, that's only because you can't have two Chiyuvim for one Malacha, but in the case of an animal, here Shneim Ze Eino Yochel V'Ze Eino Yochel, the Yisrael will be Chayav, even according to Reb Shimon. However, in the case of Mechamer, we're not talking about Zeh Eino Yochel V'Zeh Eino Yochel, but rather we're talking about a malach that was done by the animal, as we saw before in the Magid Mishnah. Then the Leital asks the following question: what's the deal in the case where a Yisrael and a Goy together shecht an animal? We have a principle that Zeh Eino Yochel V'Zeh Eino Yochel, let's say the sakin is so heavy that you need both of them. We'll call it Yankala and Patrick, you know, together have to pick up this knife because it's so heavy. And the law is that the shechita is psula and the animal is in a vela. So the Gleital asks the obvious question. If you could be machayev in Harisha for the participation and the contribution of the Israel, it means that despite the fact that the Behema is an equal partner, an equally critical partner in Melechas Harisha, nevertheless we consider it as if the Israel is doing the Melacha on his own. In other words, why is Zedi Yochel Chayev, according to the Chacham, and in this case even according to Reb Shimon, is because we merge them together and we consider that both of them did a full Melacha, again each one using the aid and the contribution of the other one. So too here, in the case of Shechita, we should define it as if the guy is helping out the Israel in terms of the Shechita, but at the end of the day, the Israel is the Shochet. The guy is also the Shochet, but the Israel is the Shochet. So why isn't the Shechita Kshera? And here the Igletal has this breakthrough that we discussed at great length the last time, namely that in Shechita we're not looking at the Chiyuv and the Maisa Ha'adam, but rather we're looking at the Shechita itself. And we're asking from the perspective of the shechita, the animal was shechted by whom? And to the same extent that you can claim it was shechted by the Israel, you can also claim it was shechted by Patrick. And therefore there was a shechita al yedei goy, and the shechita, since it was accomplished through the goy, therefore it becomes a shechita psula. But in the case of Shabbos, here we just want to answer one question. The Nidon is only the Adam. We want to know if he was responsible for a Maisa Harisha. And the answer is that through the mechanism of Zayn Yochel, Zayn Yochel, and Shain Shasu, he's considered as if he did the Maisa Harisha, and therefore he's going to be Chayav from Meleches Harish. To move on, before we get to the Chazon Ish, I wanted to point out another Rambam and see if we can, just to guess, what the Igletal might say about this Rambam. This is in Perek Vav Halacha Chav Gimel, and the Rambam writes, Yisrael sha'asa melacha b'Shabbos im avar v'asa b'zadon asur le'lihenos may osa malacha liolam. This is what, right, never. And that's called Maisa Shabbos. The Rambam is going to derive this from a pasuk. He says, other Jews who were not involved in this malacha are allowed to be nena from the malacha, but only after Shabbos, but not on Shabbos itself. Shenemar v'shomartem es ha-Shabbos ki kodesh hi kodesh v'yein maiseha kodesh. Ketzah. So the Rambam gives one example of Maisa Shabbos. Yisrael shebishel b'Shabbos b'mezid is li'achirim as far as others is concerned, l'motzoi Shabbos ye'ochel. But lo, as far as he's concerned, the mavashel, who violated Shabbos, lo ye'ochel olamis. He's never allowed to eat it. Now, let's think for a moment about the following. What would be if a Yisrael violated Harisha on Shabbos? Let's assume it was b'mezid. The Rambam says that if a malacha was implemented on Shabbos, b'mezid, that you're not allowed to benefit, or he's not allowed to benefit from that malacha liola. Now, applying that to our case of Harisha, it would mean that if the Harisha was done on Shabbos, you would never allow him, meaning the Choresh, to benefit from that Harisha liola. But let's just analyze this according to the Igletal. From the perspective of the Choresh, Ein Achinami, what we said is true. Because Ze'ena Yochel, V'Ze'ena Yochel, we said in this case, means that the entire Harisha, a full-fledged Meleches Harisha, was implemented by the Yisrael. But now let's shift to the Harisha itself. just like in the case of Shechita, we shifted our focus from the Maisa Shechita to the Shechita, and we determined that the Shechita was achieved by two participants, right? So the guy is also considered to let's put it this way: the behema was nechshita al yidei hagoy, right? The shechita was through the guy, and therefore we said it's a shechita psula. What should we say about Maisa Shabbos? The malacha was done not only by the Yisrael, but also by whom? By the animal. Then the animal is not chayav from Malacha Shabbos, last time I checked. So therefore, as far as the Harish is concerned, from the relating, if I miyaches the Harisha back to the behema, then it's not a Maisa Shabbos. On the other hand, if I take the Harish and I relate it back to the Israel who is Choresh, then it is a Maisa Shabbos. So it would seem to me that this would not be Maisa Shabbos. Maisa Shabbos means that the Malach itself was achieved by Yisrael. And that's not true, because this Malach was achieved by the Behema. So just like we said in the case of Shechita, although if the Nidon is the Maisa, you would say that the Yisrael did a full-fledged Maisa Shechita, but nevertheless, if you are judging the Shechita itself, the Shechita was done by the guy, and that's why the Shechita is Psula. Here, in the case of Harisha, following the paradigm of Zay, Yochel Zay, Yochel Vital, the Harisha was accomplished by the Behema, no less than by the Adam. So I'm not sure if that Malach of Harisha was done as a violation of Shabbos. Again, you could say that there's a certain admixture of Malach of Shabbos here, but certainly you have no right to say that this Malach of Harisha was done through a violation of the Shabbos, because to the same extent that the Yisrael participated in this Malachas Harisha, the Behema participated no less than the Yisrael. So the Kitzar Maisa, just to summarize what I'm saying, is I don't understand why this Harisha, the Rambam seems to assume in all Malachas of Shabbos, he doesn't indicate that Harisha is the exception to the rule. The violator of the Malacha, and you can make a list of 39, in each case, you know, the Mavashil, and then you'd have the Zorea, and the Choresh, and the Ofet, so they're all enjoined from benefiting from that Malacha for the rest of their lives. So therefore, I would apply that if the Rambam doesn't qualify to Harish as well. But from the perspective of the Letal, who would argue, and again, we're going to see the Ramban as a whole different approach, but from the Letal's perspective, that the Malacha was done as a partnership of two equal partners, namely both the Behema and the Adam, it's not fair to say that this Harisha was accomplished by a Malacha Shabbos. It was accomplished also by a Malacha as Behema. So in the case of Shechita, I understand very well. If the animal was geshachtin by the guy, so that makes it into a Shechita's Akum. But if you plug in our case of Harisha, the Behema into the spot of the guy in Shechita, then the Malacha of Harisha was done al yidei Behema. So if I have the right to say that this Malacha was done by the Behema, then there's no violation of Shabbos in this Malacha. Is it enough to say that, well, half of the Malacha was done by the Yisrael? Is that enough to generate Maisa Shabbos? Does anybody identify? You know, I need empathy here.
I disagree with you.
You don't empathize with me at all.
No.
Yeah, wait, so Joel, hold on for a second. Does anybody here in the room empathize with me, or am I just a lone voice in the dark here? You know. Again, let me just explain what I'm saying. It seems to me that Maisa Shabbos means that this Malacha was achieved by a violation of Shabbos. That's not true.
Excuse
this Malacha, right? It wasn't. This I have the right to claim that this Malacha was achieved by the Behema. That's not a Malacha Shabbos. That's not a violation of Shabbos.
You don't say that. But halacha, can you say the man is chayav?
No, I'm not saying that the man is not chayav. The man is chayav. I have no doubt.
So we're going to bring him
out to the Beis HaSmiul.
Because as far as
the nidon of the Adam is concerned, what was the point of the Gleital? That Zayin Yochum means that each participant is, you know, we attribute to each participant the full-fledged malach. But now I'm not dealing with the participant anymore. I'm dealing with the shchita, meaning the charisha. Correct. And when I deal with the charisha, is it really true to say that this charisha is a result of a ma'aseh Shabbos? Because if we see both the Behema and the Adam, according to Iglital, as equal partners, then to the same extent that this Harisha, excuse me, was done by the Yisrael, it was also done by the Behema, which is not a Maisa Shabbos. Go ahead, Dr. Joel, what do you want?
I would just say, the fact that you can't benefit from the outcome is a din derabbanim, as a kanas. So the Rabbanim are kanasing the person.
That's a little bit confusing here, because the Rabbanim quotes a pasuk in the Chumash, but yeah, go ahead.
So it's a kanas against the person who did the Maisa. It's using your lamdas, isn't going to, the Beis Din wants to kanas the person from ever doing this. So it doesn't matter whether you're going to have a deal, the animal did it, or he did it. He's going to get killed for it if he did it on purpose. So the fact
that they're going to kanas him. What would you say about the following case? Let's say Reuven would do a malacha through grama. Would you say that he can't be nene from that malacha? On the level of knas, I would say, you know, we better put our foot down over here. You know, we gotta warn him and make sure that he gets the message here that he's not allowed to do these kinds of things. But if it's through grama, then the malacha was not done by him. And if the malacha wasn't done by him, that's not called Maisa Shabbos. And what I'm asking about, in the case of Harisha, is it enough to say that the malacha was done by him as far as the nidon of the Adam is concerned, or do I have to say that the malacha was done as far as the nidon of the malacha per se? And logically, I think I would say the latter, that we go back to the malacha and ask if this malacha, what created this malacha? Where did this bishul come from? The answer is this bishul came from Chil Shabbos. Where did the Harisha come from? That's more complicated, because I don't think it's fair to say that the Harisha came from Chil Shabbos. The Harisha came from a partnership, and included in this partnership is the Behema. The Behema is allowed to be Harish on Shabbos. Yeah, Mitch, you want to say something?
I just couldn't see, you know, if you're making the Chaya for the Maisa, how can you not say that it's not a Maisa?
I could ask you the following question. In Shechita, this is what the Iglital asked, I'm going to be Machai of you for that Shechita, and yet, even though you're Yisrael, the Shechita is a Shechita Psula. Why? If you're telling me that I'm the Shochet, and listen, if I did it on Shabbos, Chashom, I'd be Chayef of Lecha Shochet, then why do you tell me that the Shechita is a Shechita Psula? The answer is, because he wants to shift the emphasis now, because the Nidon is no longer the Adam, the Nidon is whether the Shechita itself is a Shechita Ksheira. When I look at the Shechita and I isolate that, I have to admit that the Shechita is attributable not only to the Adam, to the Israel, but also to the God. So now when I look at the Malach of Harisha, according to Iglital, who equates that with Shechita in his Shnayim Shasu, that's a Malach of Harisha that's attributable to the Behema. If it's attributable to the Behema, then there was no Malach of Shabbos, no violation of Shabbos on the part of Behema. Yeah, I mean, it's a very religious Behema, you know, but it's still, it doesn't violate Shabbos.
What would the Iglital say by the case of Shechita if it was on Shabbos?
So he would say that it was Yisrael who did the Shechita?
Both did the Shechita.
Who's both? It was Yisrael and a guy?
And a guy.
Okay. So Yisrael and a guy did Shechita on Shabbos.
So he would say Zev is Zev Potter.
But it's in the veil anyway. You can't have enough. You can't use it anymore.
Well, no. It would be a book about no. Right. Because the veil is like Erev Shabbos.
Would it be over? Would it be Chayim Chabbos?
Yes, you're missing my point. He's definitely Chayiv Chatos. I'm not questioning that he's Chayiv Chatos. In the case of Harisha, we have a principle of Zeni Yochel, Zeni Yochel, and therefore, despite the Behemoth's contribution, he's Chayiv Chatos. That's not my issue. But I'm asking you, would there be a din of Maisa Shabbos? And logically, I would say absolutely not. Why? Because Maisa Shabbos depends on not going in the direction of is the Adam Chayav, which he certainly is, but rather the opposite direction. Was this Malacha achieved by the Yisrael? And the answer is, well, it was also equally achieved by the guy. The guy is not in violation of Malacha Shabbos, or in the case of Harisha the Behema. So Rabosa, I'll be honest with you. I can only draw a mathematical conclusion. I'm not happy with it. But it would seem, without the Iglital even addressing this issue, that we have to redefine Maisa Shabbos. That Maisa Shabbos doesn't mean can I honestly attribute the malacha to a violation of Shabbos. No, that's impossible. It's not going to work by Chorish, according to the Igletal. It'll work very well according to Ramban, but not according to the Igletal. Therefore, I would suggest that we shift that definition of Maisa Shabbos, that Maisa Shabbos means, and again, Dr. Joel has already a psychological reason why this is so, but I'm trying to avoid the psychology, you know, the knas and all that stuff. I'm just saying that in Maisa Shabbos, as long as this malacha could not have possibly been achieved without the violation of Shabbos, then the stempel, so to speak, the stamp of Maisa Shabbos is on this harisha. Meaning this harisha, point to it, is a result of Maisa Shabbos, of Malacha Shabbos. You follow what I'm saying? It's not that I have to say that, well, you know what? This harisha was purely, exclusively, a result of Malacha Shabbos. No. As long as I could say the other way around, that this harisha could not have been achieved in this scenario, right? Without a Chilul Shabbos, that's already enough to say Maisa Shabbos. You see, in the case of Shechita, it's different. In the case of Shechita, what the Igletal is claiming is that if the Shechita... Yeah, it's also very similar. Since the Shechita itself could not have been achieved without the help of the Goy, therefore the Shechita is related to the Goy. As long as the Shechita could not have been possible without the Goy, it becomes a Shechita Psula. And we're saying now that Maisa Shabbos goes the same way. That if this Harisha could not have been achieved without a Malacha Shabbos, then it's awesome.
It is.
Then it's considered Maisa Shabbos. All right.
And now we Shabbos and all this.
Again, you know, we're not. The issue is not Lech Shabbos because, as we said a million times over, the Choresh is Chayv Skila for Lech Shabbos. My only question is there an Iser in the Harisha itself? Is the Harisha awesome because it was a result of Chil Shabbos? So the answer is, it's a funny kind of thing. It's not true to say, it's not accurate and fair to say that the Shechita was a result of Chil Shabbos. Because Chil Shabbos alone would not have been enough to result in this Harisha. But on the other hand, all I have to say is that if this Harisha would have been impossible without Chil Shabbos, then I already have a yichus, so to speak, a kesher or a relationship to Chil Shabbos. Once there's some relationship to Chil Shabbos, which means that the malacha couldn't have been achieved in this world without the Chil Shabbos, then it becomes Maisa Shabbos. Okay, let's go on. Now we have a different approach to the malacha of Harisha of the Ramban. The Ramban is in two places with almost the same lingo, a slightly different version. Maybe I can just in the meantime put this down somewhere. And the Ramban is here in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Here the Ramban's language is as follows. He says the following: Bechoresh bebehemto moleches atzmohi. What does he mean by atzmo?
Independent.
No. Atzmo means, who's he referring to? Atzmo, to the Adam, to the Choresh, as opposed to the Behema. So it's a moleches atzmohi. Now, again, the Lital at this point would take a deep breath and he would say, wait a minute, what do you mean Malechus Atzmo? It's also Malechus HaBehema. Says Ramban, no. Ubehemto kikli biyad ha'uman. The Behema is not doing the Malacha. The Behema is a kli in the hands of the Choresh.
Because he's controlling him.
Correct.
And he says, him.
What do you say?
Because he's controlling him.
Ukigam, and he says it's like Hagarzen Biyad Achotzev, oh Hamasar Biyad Menifo. He gives various examples of different malachas that are done with different vessels, utensils, and certainly the Adam is considered Oses HaMalacha. So as opposed to the Igletal, who says that the Behemah is no less of a participant in this Malechus Harisha than the Adam, the Ramban puts all the emphasis here, all the shift of the Maisa Malacha to the Adam, the Choresh, The behemoth is only a kli.
So he's not making a distinction between a baal chai and a utensil. Even the baal chai is considered as a utensil.
Correct. And that's the chiddush of the Ramban, that a baal chai is considered a utensil. Zev was here last time. He pointed out that there are other malachas that you could use a behemoth as a kli. Malachas seida, perhaps you could send a hunting dog and you'll be chayfet seida. Perhaps in the case of Disha, you could have the animal stomp on the thing. As it's long as you're controlling the animal.
You're telling the monkey to write. You said that would perfectly okay on Shabbos. If you'd had your monkey, you said
right. I haven't forgotten. Yeah,
and
that's
perfectly okay. Yeah. Why is that different?
Because in that case, the monkey is not in my hand. Do you follow? It has to be in my hand.
But you've trained him to do that.
I've trained him, that's true, but it's not that I am doing an action. I am just simply letting the monkey do it on his own. Here, in the case of the behemoth, and we'll see the other Ramban, I think, is will shed a little bit more light on this, what I'm doing is, I'm doing a malacha with the behemoth. It's not like the monkey is doing the malacha on his own, and I am just programming the monkey or sending it out. But the monkey at the end of the day is doing the malacha. That's okay.
The hunting dog? You said just that.
Hunting dog is a little bit complicated. I don't know. That's going to be very complicated because there it seems that the dog... Okay, were you here when we discussed malacha seda? I don't know if you were here. Okay, so let's leave out seda because seda is a very unique case. John, did you want to say something?
If I programmed a robot to do harisha...
Oh. So that's exactly what the Chazon Ish wants to. So does anybody have the photocopy of the Chazon Ish? Because that would be very helpful.
It's essentially a Shabbos clock to a certain extent. You're programming your air conditioner to go on at a certain time and go off at a certain time.
Okay, let's leave out Shabbos clocks because I think if we stick to Harisha, we'll have our hands full with Harisha. So for anyone who has the Chazon Ish, we're on the bottom right column of this page in Simon Lamed Zayin, and he writes the following: V'hine Hadovar Mavur Baramban B'chidushav B'Shabbos Kufnun Gimel Amid Beis V'Zel Shona. So the Chazon Ish saves us the hassle of having to photocopy the Ramban, because he quotes Ramban word for word. Says the Ramban, Ella shemikoma kom sarach tam bedavar shaharei hachoresh bebehemos ata ubemtecha hu, which means he violates the Shabbos kimachamer. Okay, so let's understand this word kimachamer. Oh, Zim, I just mentioned your name, so you must have heard me. The Ramban wants to know the following. If I put a burden on the back of an animal, and then I send the animal off and guide the animal as it carries this burden, let's say from Rosh HaYochid out there into Rosh HaSarab, before Amos and Rosh HaSarabim, in such a case, I violate, who can finish my sentence for me? Alav. Do you follow anybody by Alav? In the case where I guide the animal to do threshing, to do plowing, I violate what? A malacha. Do you see the difference? Because Shabbos is made up of two parts. There are lavim and there are malachas. A lav, in the worst case scenario, not in this case of machamer, but as a general rule, would be machayv you what? Malchus. But in the case of malachi, you chayv miso or a carbon chatos. So Ramban now has a problem. Because the Ramban says that in the case of Harisha, what we have here is an animal that does the malacha on behalf of the Adam. So in Harisha I'm chayav because I guided the animal, whatever I did, we'll see all the details as we go through this Ramban. Then why not say the same thing in the case of Mechamer? Why is Mechamer only alive and yet Harisha is a Malacha? Says the Ramban that And you might argue that the charisha is mikach habehema hinase, in which case, just like in the case of Mechamer, you're only in violation of a law because mikach habehema, if that's what you're going to say, then why not apply the same logic in charisha? Zok de Ramban mipnei shachoresh bebehema hu nosein oleha ol. So the key of keys here, according to the Ramban, in the difference between Choresh and Mechamer, is that Choresh has an element which is lacking in Mechamer, namely Nosein Olea Ol. Okay, I'm going to underline that. Then the Ramban says, what's the significance of the Ol? The Hu Kovesh Osa Tachas Yada. He, in some sense, is controlling the animal. And if he's controlling the animal, again, not programming the animal, but literally controlling the animal step by step as the animal moves, is Bershuso he omedes kol hamalach al shem ha'adam hi ubo hi tluya. The bo here is referring to the Adam. So everything depends upon the Adam, and the malacha is considered his malacha. The Ein HaBehema, this is reminiscent of the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. Ela Kikli Biyad Uman. So again, right now the Malach of Karish is being done by whom, according to the Ramban? By the Adam, correct, Adam. And the animal is nothing more than what? A Kli Biyado. Says the Ramban, why not apply the same thing to Mechamer? Mechamer, he's carrying the burden out to Rishus HaRam. Let's say the Malacha is being done by the Israel. No. There's no ol over here. Right? It wasn't no sein olea ol. It was no sein olea masa, but not no sein olea ol. The Eino Doma LeMechamer Shabehema Hi Holeches LeNafsha. The animal goes step by step on its own.
Yes.
Ella? So okay, so maybe you should ask yourself the question. So now, maybe there's no, you know, there's no participation of the man. Maybe there shouldn't be a law of Mechamer. So what's the law of Mechamer? Ella, sheyesh his orus ma'at min ha-mechamer. Mechamer is like the Chorich, the Mechamer. That's the quote of the Ramban Chidush.
So the Ramban say if the animal had an ol on it, he'd be machayev mechamer.
That's exactly what the Chazanish says. He says the following: Vehine mevur midvarav, the ein chiyuv ha'adam al achizas achizaso b'machresha. Right, there are two parts here. There's the plow itself, and presumably the adam is holding on to the plow. And with that plow, he's guiding the animal. Says the Chazanish, "Ein chiyuv ha'adam al achizaso b'machresha." Because you see, the achiza b'machresha, I think, if I understand the Chazanish correctly, that's like the hisorus of the mechamer, meaning you guide the animal and it goes in a certain direction. And how do you do that? By holding on to the machresha and pushing it and being dochev the machresha. He says if the achiza on the machresha was the machayev, im kein lo kasha midi mi machamer. Okay, now I think what's going on here, the language of the Ramban is unclear, but the language of the Chazanish is also unclear. I think what he means here,
trying to draw a distinction between those two cases.
Right. What do you want to say? That? I hope you'll say what I want to say, because otherwise I'm going to...
Mechamer is you're leading him in some simple way, like holding onto the reins or whatever, which is no different than holding onto the machresha. If you're not actually using the ol as the basis for the difference, then they're both the same, in which case, Mechamer, you'd be chayav for two.
Right. He's
trying to show that they're different.
Okay, let me see if I can digest what you're saying. I just want to read the words one more time. The ein chiyuv ha'odom al achizoso b'machresha.
It's not like each one is doing half.
No. One second, you feel. I don't get the mathematics here. The Chazon Ish is saying that if the Machayev of Harisha was Achizos and Machresha, then there's no question at all. Then for sure the distinction between Harisha and Machamer is crystal clear, and the Rabban would have no cash.
Right.
I think what he means, again, let me just suggest my pshat, because I don't want to get too caught up in this. You know, we have a lot to do here. I want to finish this Chazon Ish today. I just suspect, I'm throwing it out there, you'll decide if you like it or not, that what he means by achizoso b'machresha is that the plow itself glides over the surface level of the karka, and that's not going to create plowing. We need achizoso b'machresha. Achizoso b'machresha means that he is holding on to the machresha in such a way that the harisha becomes feasible. What do I mean? He's the teeth of the machresha are being submerged, so to speak, in the karka, deep down into the karka, so that now when the animal moves,
so there's no question that there's a chayav for that.
So says the Chazon Ish, that's not what the Ramban means. The Ramban is not saying that the element for which you're chayav in harisha is because you are pushing the machresha down and facilitating the harisha. The imkain, if that's what the Ramban had in mind, is lo kasher midi b'machamer. Because then what you're saying is that the choresh made it feasible. He facilitated the moleches harisha. That's not true in the case of machamer. Machamer, he's not making it possible. Again, he's sending out the animal. Oh, Ella says the Chazon Ish, leave out the achizo, lav klumu. It's not an entity. It's not an element here. So what's the harisha then for which the choresh is chayav? The answer must be maisa harisha, which is tlishas ha'ofar, meaning the ripping out of the ground. The hunasa mikoach habehema. If you're talking about, you know, once you isolate or neutralize the element of achiza b'charisha, meaning forget about achiza b'charisha, what creates the charisha? It's the animal pulling the machresha. If it's the animal that's pulling the machresha, then the charisha is done, achieved by whom?
Yeah.
Or by what? I don't know what word you want to use. By the animal. Now the Ramban makes sense. L'ficha kashalei l'Ramban, ma'ishno mi'machamer. Meaning, to the same extent,
right,
that in Mechamer, you're not chayav for the malacha because it's the animal that does the Mechamer. So too, in the case of Harisha, it's the animal that does the Harisha. So forget about this element of Achiza b'machresha. That's not an element.
Who attached the machresha to the animal?
Again, you attach the machresha to the animal, just like you put the burden on the back of the animal.
It's the same as the ol.
Well, I don't know what you mean by the ol exactly, but I'm just saying, just like in the case of Mechamer, we'll get back to the ol in just a minute, Rabbi, but now we're trying to understand the kash of the Ramban. The kash of the Ramban was that just like in the case of Mechamer, the animal is doing the carrying of the masa, which is the malach itself, so too in the case of Harisha, it's the animal that's doing the Harisha. So why is the first case is only a lav and the second case is a malacha? Fantastic question, the Ramban. Again, the Chazon Ish opens a possible answer to this question. Maybe in the case of Harisha, you need the achiza b'machresha, but right now he's not learning that way. He's justifying the Ramban's equation, the Ramban's kasha. Elachuvas a Ramban stuma. What's unclear, says the Chazon Ish, is the answer of the Ramban. Ulech ora. Now, the Chazon Ish steps up to the plate. He's going to take a stab at trying to understand the Ramban's answer. Mechalek HaRamban Bein Machzik Es HaBehema Al Yedei HaOl. Right now, the Ol becomes a critical element, which we saw already in the language of the Ramban. Shenosan Oleha. In other words, it's not just that the yoke is placed on top of the animal, but through the yoke, he is masik as a behema. In other words, this whole contraption here, which has two parts to it, it's got the ol and the machresha, is all somehow connected in such a way that now, by calling the shots, so to speak, he is now using the ol to somehow activate the behemoth. Okay, that's number one. Ubein, but on the other hand, in the case of Mechamer, Masa Sha'al HaBehema, there is a weight, a burden on the animal's back.
There's no protection.
But Ein Ha'adam Machzik Ba, right? Because in the case of Charish of Choresh, he's holding on to the ol. And by holding on to the ol, he is really guiding the animal, controlling the animal. But in the case of Mechamer, there is no ol. And there is no ol, there's only a mas on the animal's back, therefore he's not holding on to the ol, he's not controlling the animal. Now Mitch comes up. And what does Mitch say?
Well, if there wasn't
he say, he writes the next line in the Chazon Ish. Ulefi zeh, says the Chazon Ish, gam b'mechamer, im nosan oleh ol, u'machzik ba. Right, so on top of the maso, he's got an ol, which he uses to control the animal. And now, through this pressing down on the ol, or controlling the animal through the ol, he now brings the animal from, in other words, the maso, I should say, right, on the animal's back from the Rishu Seyot Yusram, Chayav Chatos, Vizulo Shaman.
Vizulo what?
Shlo Shaman. We never heard such a thing. We never heard that in the case of Machamer, you would be chayev a chatos if you put an ol on the animal's back.
And touch, kind of holding it.
And through this ol, you were controlling the animal. That we never heard. So at this point, the Chazon Ish is very confused about the Ramban, because he tried to make some sense out of the Chuvas Ramban Astuva, and he came up with a pshat in the Ramban, which seems to be justified by the language of the Ramban, but yet it leads us to a voice atum, you know, brick wall of it, because it's impossible to say that you'd be chat. The Efshar. Okay, so now the Chazon Ish wants to make, you know, a last attempt at this. He says, the Dafka b'choresh Shemachzik es abehema litalmeha, the eno nosein la lahatos al tzida, the gam lefanea I efshalo lahaloch elin kain ta'akar ragle ofar. Now, he doesn't allow the animal to go not to the left, not to the right. It's got to go forward. And when it goes forward, what's going to happen is it's going to cause this harisha. And then he says, b'mechubar, again, I'm not sure what he means by the word mechubar here. And then the next phrase is also, you know, he talks about the Ramban being from stumim. Okay, I think the Chazon Ish is stumim. He writes, v'chashiva kikshura l'mechubar. I don't know what he means by kshura l'mechubar. Very vague words.
No, the is like mechubar.
I don't know, but we're not talking about mechubar. The concept of mechubar is not, you know, there are many malachas where I can tell you why it says mechubar, but I don't know in this case why he's talking about mechubar. But anyway, let's see the next line, because I think the next line makes a little bit more sense. He says, ube'emes hacharisha mechabedes olav yoser mishar nesias masa. Again, what he's saying is that somehow all the pressure that the Choresh puts on this animal to bring it to Charisha is very different than the case of Nesias Masa in the case of Mechamer. So therefore, since there is a Mechabedes Olav, again, somehow he, it's not just that he's holding on to the ol, as we saw before, because then we'd have the problem of Mechamer in the case of an ol, but rather he is actually guiding the animal at every step of the way, and he is Mechabedes Olav, meaning he's somehow figuratively at least weighing down on the animal and controlling the animal step by step. And that's called Meleches Harisha. Again, the language here is Machzikus Behema, Letalmeha, make sure that he's holding on to the animal in such a way that it goes down a certain way. Einan Osim Lahatos Al Tzida. And when it goes Lefanea, it's going to have, that's the only choice it has, the animal, and therefore when it goes Lefanea, it's going to do the Harisha. And at every stage of the game, he says, Harisha Mechabedes Oleha. It's really a very heavy control on the animal. Yosef Mishar Nesias Masan, and therefore it's not like the case of Mechamer, Ubazen Echsheves. Now we can consider it Kikli Uman, that the animal is so to speak passive almost. Again, it's not totally passive, but it's absolutely being controlled on an ongoing basis by the Choresh. Is Shamina Midivre Ramban, the Af in Yochin Machresha Kveda, Shayateid Lo Yikpots Me Omek Adama. So let's say, for example, the teeth of this Machresha was so heavy, it was such a heavy duty plow that it would not skim the surface of the ground, and as the animal moves it will definitely make these charitzim, but nevertheless he would be chayav. He says ha'adam mechamer achrea b'li hechsek b'kapos ha'machresha is therefore gam kein chayav mishum choresh. So he's
a pretty bold statement.
Now changes in that is wait one second. I don't Wait, just one second. I didn't say anything yet. Let me just try to make sense of this chazanish before.
I
give you a chance to try to say something. Yeah. So what is the chazanish saying? He's saying that if the Adam is mechamer achreu, which means he controls the animal and weighs over the animal in such a way that the animal can't turn this way or that way, but only can go forward, then forget about the elements of digging the machresha into the ground. That I don't need. That's not a precondition. But rather, the precondition, the machayev of Meleches Harisha, is the control of the animal. And once you assume that there's control of the animal, that makes it into Meleches Harisha. How is this different than Mechamer? The answer is, in the case of Mechamer, I don't have control of the animal. All I do is I send the animal out. Again, what would be, according to the Chazanish, if he would somehow weigh over the animal and control it at every step to make sure it doesn't turn to the left or to the right? I don't know. We have to think about that. It would seem that, according to the Chazanish, maybe Shemichayev in that case from Meleches Mechamer. And that's what the Chazanish has to say. V'chein im echad choresh biatzmo below behema v'asheni machzik b'machresha choresh chayev. Okay, so this is very interesting. Okay, let me just put this on the side here, and let me see what's next on the Maamar Makomos, because I have something more to say about this Chazanish. Just give me a second. Oh, so here we have a sugya that perhaps would shed a light on Mechamer. So again, let's just summarize. According to the Ramban's approach, the way the Chazanish develops it, the difference between Harisha and Mechamer is in the level or the element of control over the animal. And in the case of Mechamer, there's less of a control of the animal. The animal is basically being sent off on its own to do this malacha. And therefore, you're not chayev, and it's not a kli biyad ha'uma. Okay. Is it possible that in the context of this question about the difference between Meleches Harisha as a Chiyuv Skila and Mechamer as a Chiyuv Lav, that we can introduce another element into this equation? And that's what I want to study with you. Chotza is called what?
A
malacha grua. Now, why is Chotza called a malacha grua? So on this we have a Tosfos. You'll see it on the Maamar Makomos page, and we have an Orzarua. And there's a I think, a fundamental difference between the two. Tosa says that why is Hotzah Malacha Grua? De Mali Motzi Mishsayachid Lishasarabin, Mali Motzi Mishsayachid Lishasayachid. In other words, when I put a tremendous amount of effort into relocating, into carrying an object, well, what happens if I have a very large Rishus HaYochid, or alternatively, you have a Rishus HaYochid that borders on my Rishus HaYochid? I schlep a very heavy object, I'm just trying to dramatize it, from one Rishus HaYochid all the way to the end of the Rishus HaYochid, very long, or from one Rishus HaYochid to the other Rishus HaYochid, and what's the din? Potter. But if I have a very small object that requires absolutely no tircha, and I take it a few inches from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, I cross the border, I'm chayav. Says Tosfos, Hotzah Malacha Grua, Mali Motzi Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim, Mali Motzi Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaYochid. In other words, if the whole malacha boils down to relocating the object, I have to do a lot of work to get it to where I want to get it to and put it down over there, then what? Tosfos doesn't see any justification for the malacha to be conditional on what? On Rishus HaRabim. Let it be Rishus HaYochid, or from one Rishus HaYochid to the other Rishus HaYochid. But let me read to you the language of the Arzaruah. I think the Arzaruah adds a whole other element to the equation. Says the Arzaruah, Malacha she'ena chashuvihi, dema malacha asa shehotzi mirshuso, meikara chefetz, vahashtanami chefetz.
Nothing changed
in the object.
There's no creative act.
Exactly. You haven't done a creative act in the object itself. So again, if you ask me how much effort, how much tircha did he put into Malechas Hotzah in order to be chayav, I can give you situations in which he put in a tremendous amount of effort to relocate the object and he's not chayav. And I can give you a situation where he does the minimal amount of effort and he's chayav. Since Tosfos, that makes it into Malacha Grua. The minute you cross over to Rishus HaRabim, it's a Malacha Grua. You're chayav, it's a Malacha Grua. Says the Arzaruah, say better than that. In the case of Malechas Hotzah, you haven't changed anything in the universe. There's no chefetz that was impacted. It's just a relocation, but you haven't changed the object.
And that's not always true. I mean, if you take something from the shade to the sun or vice versa, you're doing it so...
But that's not going to be relevant to Malechus Hotzah. Yeah. Do you follow? So in other words, I can take something from the shade and put it from the sun and put it in the shade, even in Rishus HaYochid, and I won't be chayav. The same exact circumstance I'd be chayav for if I cross over to Rishus HaRabim. So you see that the element of shade, etc., is totally irrelevant. The whole malacha inheres in relocating it into another Rishus. Tosa says that makes it into what? The malacha grua. And the Arzaruah says you're not changing the object. Again, you might change the object, but that's not why you're chayav from malacha sotso. You'll be chayav from malacha sotso from the sun to the sun and from the shade to the shade. So you didn't make any change in the object. Oh. Why do I point this out to you? Because perhaps, here's the difference between Choresh and Mechamer. In the case of Harisha, he makes an important change, an impact on the ground. The ground is now Royal Israel. That's called Yipuye Ara. Masha'en came in the case of Mechamer, what's he doing? He's simply relocating the object. He had it in Rishus HaYochid, now he puts it down in Rishus HaRabim. And I say the following. It's difficult enough to justify Malechus Hotzah as a Chiyuv Skiwa. That itself is a Chiyuvish. Then you're going to go a step further and say, well, if the animal does the Hotzah, I'm going to be Chayav. So do you follow what I'm saying?
It's in the Gidrei HaMelacha.
I mean, if that Gidre works for you, then I'm not...
Is that he has to do it and not machinery.
What I'm saying is that if I use an animal to create a harisha, then you can judge it from, you know, from the general, shall we say, constellation of Hilchus Shabbos, of Malecha Shabbos. But when I talk about Hotzah, then Hotzah is already outside the realm of classical Hilchus Shabbos. By the way, Tosfos says it, or the way the Arzaruah says it. So Dalmiyachi, I have already a tremendous chiddush al rishonim on mitzarim that the Torah says I'm chayav for leches hotzah. Now you're going to tell me that the Torah was mechadish I'm chayav for the animals hotzah? I can't. But Rabbi said maybe we could go even a step further. There's a fundamental difference between harisha and hotzah. In hotzah, nothing happens until the end. What do I mean? The goal of Melechus Hotzah is the Hanacha. I need the object to be there. How do I get there? That's irrelevant. That's secondary. In other words, from my perspective, if I could say abracadabra, and magically the object would be there, where I have to get it, I would be a happy camper.
You'd still be over on Otsah.
I would not be over on Otsah. Correct? If let's say I did it magically, but you're right, Alan, you know, conceptually, maybe I should be over Otsah. What I'm saying is that when the animal does mechamer, then really the process, if you could... Let's break down Mechamer into two parts. There's the halicha, where the animal goes step by step, and then the animal puts it down wherever it has to get to, or it arrives at its location. What am I interested in? What is the animal doing for me? Not the halicha itself. The animal is only achieving the goal of putting the burden down where it has to get to, or stopping where it has to get to. Masha Enkein, I'll try to clarify what it is. Masha Enkein, in the case of Harisha, there, every step of the way, every alicha, the animal is turning over the offer and achieving a yipui kark, a yipui ara. So ultimately, if I send the animal off, in the case of a chamer, I can use a funny phrase here, but who makes the decision to achieve the malacha? It's the animal itself. Do you follow what I'm saying? I don't mean intellectually, but the clincher of the malacha is the end of the malacha, not the beginning of the malacha, not the process, not the step by step. It's putting it down where it has to be, or getting it to where it has to be. That the animal did. I'm not chayav for that. But in the case of Harisha, and especially the way the Ramban interprets Harisha, every step of the way the animal is doing Harisha. It has nothing to do with Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYoch, it has nothing to do with the Makom HaNocha. Here I could say that together with the animal, I am achieving something every step of the way. So when the Malacha, and this is what's unique about Otsah, is getting into a certain place, so then the animal did it on its own. But if the Malacha is not to get it to a certain place, but to go through the karka step by step, that at every moment, at every stage in the process, he, the animal, or she, I should call it, is doing a malacha for me. And that's why I'm chayav for Harisha.
Well, why isn't it for Hatzah the same thing? Every step the animal takes, if he stops there, long enough, there's hanacha. And he's doing one hanacha after
but another. He has to do that hanacha in Rishus HaRabim. So I'm saying that the malacha is only clinched when he... the animal, I can't call it E, when the she gets to Rishus HaRabim. So it's that moment, that critical moment where the malacha is achieved. There was nothing achieved until that moment,
why
as far as malacha is concerned. So for Mechamer, I'm chayav because I set this process in motion, and the Torah says that that's a lav, but it's not a malacha. Because what's unique about a Melechus Shabbos that's done through the aid of an animal means that the animal at every stage is working on my behalf and achieving something. But that's not true in the case of Mechamer. In the case of Mechamer, I could skip the entire process, I could sleep through the entire story, all I have to do is wake up when the animal reaches the Rishus HaRabim, and at that point the Mechamer is complete. Then it's the animal that's working on its own. It's not me. I can only consider the animal as mitzurah, so to speak, as linked up to the choresh, if at every stage of the game the animal is doing something for me. So I am guiding the animal, and at every point the animal is achieving charesh. Alright, I don't know, think about it. I just thought that this might be, you know, shed a light. John, what did you want to say?
Is there such a thing as mechamer in the Rishus HaYachid?
No.
Only when the animal goes into Rishut HaRabim.
How about Dalet Amos Rishut HaRabim? Is that Muhammad?
Yes. But that again means that when you finish the Dalet Amos, you're in another Rishus. Right, that's the famous Me'iri. You remember this Me'iri? If you learned the first parak of Shabbos, you know, the whole parak is built on this Me'iri. And the Me'iri says that every four Amos in Rishus is considered Rishus unto itself. And therefore the Torah says that if you put it down four Amos later, you're putting it into a different Rishus.
It just seems to me like the difference between the Ramban and the Chazon Ish is if you remember they used to have these airplanes that kid could be able to guide with a wire that was attached to it, and you had a little radio box but it was a direct connection. But then later on we got more sophisticated, you could do it by radio waves. It seems to me like the Ramban is saying if there isn't a direct connection with the wire, you're not over, because you have to have a connection with it. And the Chazon Ish is saying, La'avdafka, if you can accomplish the same thing through radio waves without touching it, you're chayav also.
Oh, so that's the first paragraph here in the Chazon Ish about radio waves or electric waves. And the Chazon Ish says the following: Hachoresh b'machono, hanetukenet lekach. So you have a charisha machine. Va'adam locheitz lechitza rishono, he presses the button. Va'yidei zeh motzi koachom hagorem li'edim. Edim is like vapor or something. Steve. She'avo v'aniu es hagalgal utnu es hagalgal mamshech es yitzira es ha'edim v'chein choze chalila chol charisha chashiva giri dilei u'maiso v'chai.
He says everything
that's right.
Well. Right? So this is going to be the Chazon Ish's Chumrah on machines. That if I press a button, I'm chayav according to the Chazon Ish.
Right.
Again, we'll soon see that all the posts can disagree with the Chazon Ish.
But the Ramban didn't say that.
Right, but let me just read to you.
The Ramban understands the animal as the extension of him.
That's right.
Of the individual.
But so it has to be a physical.
So I don't understand why Muhammad should not be... The animal is the extension of the individual who wants the master that brought from Rosh Hashanah.
I can just tell you that the Ramban's language is very difficult to understand. Again, I give it to you right there on the photocopy, so you do whatever you like with the photocopy, with the language of the Ramban. The only thing I can tell you is the Ramban says that in Muhammad, the animal is more or less on its own. You just send the animal out. Masha Enkein, in the case of Harisha, you are somehow controlling the animal at every stage. So now I want to read to you the language of the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim of then, right, from Tzvi Hirsch Frank in Har Tzvi. He writes the following: L'chora lo mashma meharamban kehachazon ish. In other words, I read the Ramban and I didn't come to the conclusion of the Chazon Ish. He says the following: what is the Ramban telling us? Ilu bechoreish bebehemto meleches atzmo. You remember the word atzmo? It's his melech. Ubehemto imo kikli biad ha'uman kigon hagarzon biad ha'chotzev hamasor biad menifo teida tochayoven al zdono skila ubeshoge chakos the afal gav de beinon dumya the avodizora the ovid maisa begufe hare de sphirole. L'Ramban, Shemoleches ha'odom Necheves leguf Moleches ha'charisha Lufishu mamshich la'sosa im ha'behem. No, it's like that the Adam is osa begufo. He himself is physically doing the melacha, and he's just using the animal as a clue. And then he says, Uneitzas ha'yosev v'achzokas ha'machresha Maisa olim. Again, he's not learning like the Chazon Ish. He's saying that the person is actively involved in the charisha. He's holding on to the machresha, and he's also pushing it down so that the teeth of the machresha sink under the ground. Avol says the Har Tzvi, kasher adam eina osek klum beguf hamalacha. If he's doing nothing in the malach itself, lo shayach lechayvo. The afal pisha derech harisha b'kach, you know, you've created this machinery and that's the way you do plowing. Harei b'charishas habehema hachzokas hayosed mechuyeves hamalochihi mashe enkein b'mechona shemelvad haf alosa, with the one exception of pressing the button to activate the machine. Ein klum bepulasa. Ein ha'adam osa klum bepulasa. The man is not doing anything to contribute to the action of the machinery. Ein ha'adam ishtatef bepula klal. Uvadai ubarur she'eno nikra maise ha'adam. Says the Hartzvi that if you read the Rabban carefully, and the goal of the Rabban is to postulate that in the case of Chalrisha, it's the Adam who's doing the Harisha, because at every moment he is contributing on an ongoing basis to the Harisha, whether it means because he's holding on to the Machresha, whether it means he's pushing down the Machresha, whether it means because he's holding on to the all through the Machresha, whatever permutation you like, but it's definitely according to the Rabban, Moleches Atzmo, the Rabban writes. And therefore, says the Ramban, the behemoth is nothing more than a garzet, a kli, biyad, ha'oseh. Says the Hartzvi, that's not true for a machine. In the machine, all you do is press a button. Now the machine is on its own. It's like your case of the monkey. Right? And therefore, the Ramban would certainly say that that's not called a malacha. The machine did the harisha, and I didn't do the harisha. And it seems to me that the taina of the Hartzvi is a very strong taina. You know, I'd like to defend the Chazon Ish a little bit here, because right now, I think it's very sad here for the Chazon Ish to say that there's an equation in the Ramban's favor. Again, if he didn't build on the Ramban, so he wants to mechadish chidushim, that, you know, the machine is my arm or something like that, it's fine. You can mechadish chidushim, but that's not what it says in the Ramban. The Ramban says in the Harisha, the reason why the animal is my kli is because I am controlling the animal at every stage. It's not like the case of Mechamer, which the Ramban says is his orus bilvad. You know, the Mechamer, you know, give the animal a whack in the back and let it run. That's only a lav. But it's not a malacha. A malacha requires that it be malechas atzmo. And you can't call the machine malechas atzmo.
The Ramban is not saying you're not chayef on anything. There's still a chayef for something first. Starting the engine.
Look, if the Chazon Ish would say that you didn't only start up the engine, but you actually had to participate in the machine's pe'ula, you know, on an ongoing basis. You know, again, there are different types of machines. You know, some machines.
Alan, if you started the machine Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, some machines. All you have to do is just start the machine, and then the machine thinks on its own. Yeah, you know, but if you have a machine where you would have to actively participate in the machine at every stage, then that would be similar in the Ramban's frame of reference to Malechas Harisha.
If you had to keep it in gear all the time.
Something like that. But according to the Chazon Ish, all I do is press the button, and then I go to sleep. And the machine works on its own, and I'm chayef for that.
That's
but there are two words in the Chazon Ish, I think, and give it away. Which are the key two words in the Chazon Ish? Very important. Go back to the Chazon Ish. Do you see the words gire delay in the Chazon Ish? Okay. Gire delay, which I have for you on the Mar Makomos page, is a sugya in Meleches Baba Kam. And this is the famous machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And we're talking about a concept called Isho Mishum Chitza. And the question is, if I light a fire, and the fire spreads and it burns down your haystack, is that called Adam HaMazik or Momen HaMazik? So comes along Rabbi Yochanan with the principle, we pass it like Rabbi Yochanan, called Isho Mishum Chitza, which means that at every stage of the game, it's considered as if I am creating that fire. Says the Chazon Ish, if I set a force into motion, and as a result of the fact that I initiated the process and gave that haf'alah, as he calls it, then it's gire delay. It's considered like the case of a person who sends an arrow, he shoots an arrow, isho mishum chitzov, and the arrow is considered when it hits its target as if you took it and punched it and penetrated into the heart of the Nebuchadnezzar victim. Now wait a second. Here is the famous Nebuki Yosef. You can't begin to learn the sugya of Isho Mishum Chitzov without the Nebuki Yosef. This is the Nebuki Yosef that we were taught, I think, even in high school. And the Nuki Yosef asked the Kasha, how are you allowed to light Shabbos candles on Erev Shabbos? Why not say Isha Mishum Chitzav? And as the candle burns, it's considered as if you're burning the candle on Shabbos. So I'll read to you the language of the Nuki Yosef. Kasha, Heichi Sharinan Im Chashecha, Lahadlik Es HaNeros. Hare Hadlakosa Holeches V'Nigmeres V'Shabbos. Ulefi Zeh, now that we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Hareza Kilu Hivhira Hu Bi'atzmo B'Shabbos. V'Kolshken Hu. Dilu Hacha here in the case of Rabbi Yochanan alone is Kavin Lahavir Godesh Al Chaver Klal. He didn't actually set up the fire of the Mezid so that it would burn his friend's haystack down. But Hacha, but here in the case of Adlokas Neros and Erev Shabbos, Iker Kavanosahi Shetidlak Vitelech B'Shabbos. He needs the fire burning on Shabbos. So that every moment it's considered Giri Delay as if he lit the fire, and therefore, paradoxically, my wife was Makai in the mitzvah of Adlokas their Shabbos, but at the same time, she's violating Malekha Shabbos.
She'd always have it on the way.
Not you.
You haven't done by an Akum all the time. You're only over on a Shavuos.
So let's see the answer of the Nebuki Yosef. Okay? So again, Rabosai, according to Nebuki Yosef, it's my koch. As the arrow is flying in the air until the point that it hits, it's my koch, it's my maisa, and therefore in the case of Isha Mishum Chitzo, I burnt the fire on Shabbos, I should be chai. Says the Nebuki Yosef. So again, the Havamina of the Nebuki Yosef fits in very well with the Chazarish, but we'll think about that. But listen to his answer. Ki na'ayin b'milsei shapir domi v'lo kashalon klal. Harei chiyuvo mishum chitzov kizorei kachetz shebesho sheyotzo hachetz mitachas yodohu. Okay, we're talking about a murder case, right? So at the moment that the chetz leaves his hand, the osa shah nasa hakol, v'lo chashvinen le maisa mikamol abo. From the moment that he shoots the arrow, everything was done. And from now on, it's not his action. De'i chashvinen le Havilon Lemifte, he says, I'll prove to you that it's not considered as Maisa Mikanel Abba, because if so, he would be Potter, the Onesu, She'ein B'yodolach Zero. The famous Nebuki Yosef, he says that once I shoot the arrow, I don't have the wherewithal of pulling back the arrow, and therefore I should be considered Begetter Onus, meaning you can't hold me responsible for the ongoing process of the arrow hitting its victim, because at that point I'm an Onus. El al karchach, I must be chayav because of the maisa that was completely gomur when I shot the arrow. Again, he can't say according to Nebuki Yosef that he's not going to be chayav if the victim doesn't get hit by the arrow. I mean, that for sure we need it. So here on both sides, I want to share with you something I heard from the Rav. I think I mentioned it here in the past about Melech HaSafir. And The Rav is not the only one to say this, but the Rav says it better, but the Igli Tal also says this, that if you put a dough into the oven on Shabbos and it bakes on Motzi Shabbos, you're not chayav. Because the afiyah has to take place on Shabbos. And this is something that the Igli Tal says based on a Gemara Daf Dalet of the famous sugya of Hidbik Paspitan. You remember this?
It's the end product.
Right, so Reuven put the dough into the oven. Shimon wants to come along and be Rodes HaPas and save Reuven from Aleches Chatos. And the Gemara says, Einom Reuven Leonam Chatei Bishvil Shiyizke Chaveru. But you see very clearly that if we would allow Shimon to do the Rodes HaPas, then Reuven would be put. Why? Because you need the Afir. It's not enough to just put the dough into the oven. So therefore, says the Igli Tal, the Afiyah, insofar as it's an integral part of Melech Es Afiyah, and you're chayav for the Afiyah, so you're only chayav if the Afiyah took place when? On Shabbos itself. You remember I discussed this?
Right, yeah.
So the Rav Zichron Levracha had a Yushalmi, I don't remember all the details right now, and the Yushalmi says that he violates Bishul if he puts a pot on the fire on Shabbos and it cooks after Shabbos. So Fek the Rav, how can it be The Bishul took place after Shabbos. So first the Rav tried to compare it to Zriya, with the Hashrasha took place after Shabbos. And then finally the Rav comes to the final conclusion that the Machayev, according to the Yerushalmi, is Achnosas Ha'isa B'tocha Tanur. But there's a Tnai. And the Tnai is that asked the Beit, when does that Tnai have to come to fruition? That's irrelevant. It can come now on Shabbos, it can come after Shabbos. It's like Zriya, when does Hashrasha take place? Who cares? Eventually there'll be Hashrasha. Hashrasha is a Tanakh. And if somebody pulls out the Zera before it gets rooted, then Enochinami is not Chai. If somebody pulls out the Esau before it bakes, then the Machnas Sapas, the Tokatanur, is not Chai. But the Machayev is Achnas Sapas. So I thought that this is what the Nebuki Yosef is saying. 1,000 years before of Salvage. The Muki Yosef is saying that the Machayev is the Yiriya, is the Yoreh Es Hachetz, or the burning of the fire, lighting the fire. When you light the fire, inherent in that action of lighting the fire is that it's going to burn. Again, we need that burns. If it doesn't burn up, then you know the Tanai was not fulfilled. But you're Chayev for what you did at the beginning. Therefore, says the Muki Yosef, you lit the fire when? On Arab Shabbos. I'm going to talk about if you win it on Shabbos, I have no issues. But here's a case where she lit the candles, hopefully on Arab Shabbos, right? Again, sometimes it gets pretty close. You got to be careful, right? At least on there, it says in the Mishnah, right? But she lit the candle before Shabbos. So the Muki Yosef says, why are you chayav? You're chayav because of the hadlok itself. The hadlok itself took place when? On Arab Shabbos. There's no way you can be chayav for that. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Isha Mishum Chitzav, it doesn't mean that it's an ongoing maisa from the beginning to the end. It means that the maisa was complete at the beginning when you lit the candle. Everything adheres in that maisa. And when you shot the chetz, that's why you're chayev. So the machayev is shooting the chetz. Just like Rav Salveitch says, the machayev is for adbakas pas betoa betoka tanur. And now we have a tnai. The tnai is that it has to hit the target, to hit the victim. And then you're chayev as a rotzeh. Or in Ezekiel, you're chayev for ish. Right? For adu amas. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, since everything in here is in the original Maisa, then you could only be Chayev if you lit the fire on Shabbos. So let's now come back to the Chazon Ish in Meleches Harisha. According to the Chazon Ish, who says that you could be Chayev for a machine, it makes sense if you accept the Havamin of the Muki Yosef. The Havamin of the Muki Yosef was that Giri delay means not that I sent out my arrows and I'm chayev for sending out the arrows. That's the Chiddush of the Muki Yosef Lamaskana, that the Machayev is, and the Maisa Gomer is the Yiriya, Yorachetz. But if you hold like the Havamin of the Muki Yosef, that what does Isha Mishum Chitzav mean? What is Giri delay? It means that every moment and every second that the arrow is continuing until it finally hits its target is considered that you are shooting the arrow. If that be the case, then when the machine achieves the Meleches Harisha, you set up that process, the machine is Giri delay. And it's considered that you did the Harisha. But if you take the Maskana of the Nebuki Yosef, now I think the Hartzvi is correct. Because according to the Maskon of the Muki Yosef, you're chayev for being your esachetz, right? And that is the machayev. So that means that it's not the ongoing giri delay. It's the giri delay is only enough to say that when eventually it hits its target, you're chayev because of the original maisa. Then what would the Hartzvi say about that? The Hartzvi is saying that that's not the Rabban on Harisha. The Rabban has a problem in Harisha because he thinks in his Havamina that the animal does the Harisha. The answer of the Rabban is no. The animal is only a kli. And how does the Rabban achieve his goal? How does he stipulate and conclude that the animal is only what? Is only a kli, because you're constantly involved on an ongoing basis with controlling the animal. It means that giri delay is like the ongoing maisa. Oh, if it's like the ongoing maisa, because I'm involved in controlling the animal, then the hecha tesi, says the Hartzvi, that I'd be chayev for machinery. And apparently, the Chazon Ish understands that if I can be machayev you for an action that sets up a process, that kicks off a process, and when ultimately that process reaches its fruition, I now go back in time and I say, well, you did the Maisa Machayev. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, when I press the button of the machine, then after the Charish is done by the machine, I have a right to say that everything that the machine did and accomplished, all the Charish, was inherent in the pressing of the button. So the pressing of the button now becomes Giri Bilet. So basically, we have a machlokas here between the Chazon Ish and Har Tzvi. How do I understand Giri Dilet? The upper hand, so to speak, is with the Har Tzvi, because that's the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that the reason you're chayav for the animals, Meleches Charisha, is only because you are in control the entire time. But if you're not in control the entire time, then you would not be chayav. That would be Mechamer. If that be the case, says the Har Tzvi, you're not involved in constantly overseeing and supervising, controlling the machine. The machine does it on its own. That's called Mechamer. That's not Meleches Charisha. Comes along the Chazon Ish, says no. That once we have the Svara of Isha Mishum Chitzav and Giri Delay, what it means is that you're chayav for the original Maisa. And that original Maisa contains within it the entire process. After the process is complete, now I know that you were chayav for that Maisa that set the process in motion. If that be the case, then once the machinery completes its Charisha, then you're chayav l'mafreya for pressing the button. Well, what time is it? We still have a few minutes. Okay. Where what?
No.
You have the Ruki Yosef?
You'll find it. It's in
Baba Kamchov Bays, I think it is.
Why you put for the Shabbos candles?
You put for the Shabbos candles because the Ruki Yosef says that Isha Mishum Chitzav means that you're chayav for lighting the candle, for sending out the arrow. That's where the chiyuv adheres. And if that maisa is a maisa machayiv, it has to be done on Shabbos. What happens at the end, when it hits its target, or it blows up when it does, the haystack, that's a tnai. And that's similar to what we suggested in Afia, that the maisa machayiv is putting the dough into the oven, and you're chayiv for that. And Yerushalmi is going to go so far as to say that even if the Afia took place when? After Shabbos, you violated Meleches Bishul.
So, didn't the Chazon Ish say that even if he pressed the button before Shabbat, he'd be chayav?
No, that I never saw. That might be an issue of Av Shemilsa, or, you know, Gedal, you mentioned that Shabbos. That's a whole different sugya. That has to do with Hashmas Kol. You know what I'm talking about? Has to do with Shvisas Kalim, according to Beit Shammai, but even they still have a certain element.
But he pressed the button on Shabbat.
And he's chayav Misa for that. Could you imagine?
And if why not before?
Because the pressing the button is part of the malacha. In other words, the Chazon Ish is not denying that the malacha begins when you press the button. If that beginning of the malacha started on Erev Shabbos, then you can't be chayav. It's only Giri Delay. If you press the button on Shabbos, it's a Giri Delay of Melech Shabbos. If you press the button on Erev Shabbos, that's not Giri Delay.
But if the Harisha took place on Shabbos,
I lost my place.
You press the button prior to Shabbos, the Harisha took place.
So there might be, as I said, there might be some buttons involved or something. So, but there's no.
Could that be Nisimachamir Alav?
What do you say?
Nisimachamir Alav?
Issa Mechamer is a lot. Correct.
Could that be an Issa Mechamer?
Oh, no. I think even Mechamer requires that you know, you're minding the behemo of Karlo Bacol on Shabbos itself. So again, Rabos, I just want to, for one moment, you know, just to think about what I call the paradox of the Ruki Yosef. It's really paradoxical when you think about it. Because the Ruki Yosef is saying that I'm going to be chayav. Hey, let me give you a mashal. Just to convey my feelings about the Nebuki Yosef, why it's so paradoxical. Let's say a man sends out an arrow on Sunday and it hits the target and the victim dies on Monday. When is his yahrzeit? It's on Monday, right?
For sure.
And yet, the one who is Yores Achetz is Chayav on Sunday for the Misa that happens on Monday. It's very paradoxical. The answer is that Reuven is Chayav, the Yore, for Shimon dying on Monday.
That's always the case.
But he's Chayav for what he did on Sunday. So basically what we're doing is we're sort of in a very obscure way we're saying that there are two concepts of chiyuv here. There's one concept of chiyuv when the victim never drops dead, but that's not the concept that we need. We need the chiyuv as far as the one who sent the arrow out, and that's not when he dies. That's going to be when he sent the arrow out. So what did he do between Sunday and Monday? And he was out in the, you know, he was in a coma, I don't know, he was out in the Bahamas, you know. And yet he's going to be chayav because on Monday his arrow killed somebody. Mm-hmm. But he's chayav what he did on Sunday. I'll give you an example. When would you give him Asra? You know, Asra always has to be before the chiv.
When he shoots.
Oh, when he shoots. So then you're saying that he's chayav for shooting it.
Yeah.
No? If he's chayav for shooting it, so maybe the yardstick should be when he shot it. Why? Because he's only chayav if he kills the guy.
Yeah, but that's really nothing.
You have a terrorist attack and you have a lot of people who are wounded, chas v'shalom. Then you say they died 3 years later, but you say they died because of the terrorist attack. That's what killed them. Right. The terrorist attack killed them.
Let me ask you the following question, and you're going to laugh at me. But I don't care, because I have a Gemara that says the enemies set fire to the temple on the 9th of Av.
Yeah, right.
The temple burned on the 10th of Av.
Right.
According to the Ruki Yosef, who says that Giri delay, let's go for a moment with the Havamina of the Ruki Yosef, right? So the Havamina of the Ruki Yosef is that at every stage of the game, I am considered burning it down, right? Yeah. Giri delay. And that seems to be what the Ramban says as far as Melechus Harisha is concerned. So, Rabosai, when did the enemies burn down the temple?
Ninth
on the 10th.
Happened the 9th.
On the 10th. In fact, the Gemara records in Masechta Tainis that Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ilulei Chachamim she'tiknu esatzom b'yom tshi." If it was up to me, I would have fasted on Asiri. What a chutzpah! For Rabbi Yochanan to say, Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, that all the Tanoim in the Mishnah who established Tisha B'Av on the 9th of Av, I would establish it on the 10th of Av. And the truth is that the Chachamim make a lot of sense. Why? Because the Ruki Yosef says that the burning started when you lit the fire. Isho Mishum Chitzav means that you're chayav for what you did when you set up the process, or as the Chazon Ish would say, when you press the button on the machine. Again, the temple has to burn down. But the real machayev of the temple burning down adheres, thus lifting them in them hadlaka, in the sreifa, in the havara. The havara was done on the 9th of Av. Everything adheres in the 9th of Av. And comes over Rabbi Yochanan and says, I want to fast on the 10th of Av.
And he's the one who says Isha Mechumchet?
And he's the one who says Isha Mechumchet.
There's no difference, right?
So I'll give you a balabatish answer. Don't fetishka. You know, sometimes I say things, I tell you to forget it immediately. And if I don't tell you that, you forget it anyway. So why should I bother telling you? Okay, I'm just joking. Anyway, here's what I want you to think about and forget. It's an emotional balabatish svara. Let's say, chas v'sholom, a small fire started in your house. Your house is a beautiful mansion, but there's a tiny little fire here and, you know, somewhere on the porch, I don't know where. When he start crying? When he start grieving? When the house burns down. Right? Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, he says, I don't understand. With all your lovedness of Isha Mishum Chitzav, and it's my lovedness, Rabbi Yochanan would admit, and that Alts licked in them Havara, I'm not going to cry over that Havara, because so far nothing burnt down. The temple is still magnificent. It's a beautiful structure. I want to start crying and I want to grieve on the 10th of Av, because that's when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. In other words, what I'm suggesting here is the following, that the Chachamim climb to the most abstract levels of conceptual thinking, and they determine that the halacha is not emotional. The halacha determines that the fast is on the ninth of Av. Why? Because isha mishum chitzov. Because everything is in that original tchilas paradusa, tchilas asreifa. That's gire dile. Comes on Rav Yochanan, he says, you know what? I can't argue with the Chacham, but if it was up to me, I think we should be grieving when the Migdash was destroyed. And that's on the 10th of Av. From a perspective of Avelus, the Rav used to always hack this into our heads, Avelus is a kiyum shebolev. It's an emotional state of being. Rav Yochanan is right. But from a Lavdusha perspective, in pure abstract halacha, the Chachamim are right. We should all be zochet to that mincha b'kavana. For me, it's going to be hard. And be zochet that this Tisha B'Av, we don't have to say you and so on.
I couldn't even find it.
Say it again? Okay, believe me, I'll write out the lashon, so you'll just do a search.
Truth is, I couldn't find the hard to you.
I'll give you that too. I just didn't have enough time to photocopy it. I really got stuck here because what happened is we had a